There are potentially hundreds of victims out there.
Heads nod and papers shuffle at a small meeting inside an unassuming office building in Winter Park. At the top of the agenda here is human trafficking, who could take on new cases and respond to emergency calls.
This is not one person. This is huge numbers of people that are still wandering around our state and perhaps in Georgia who got taken advantage of.
This group, Florida Abolitionists, formed 8 years ago. Its goal has been to expose Central Florida's underbelly, parents selling children into slave labor, foreign-born workers arriving stateside with visas only to be outsourced for scam jobs, aspiring models being coerced into becoming escorts. Tomas Lares has seen it all as executive director.
It impacts our community economically with them going to the jail continuously. Then they have to go through the clerk of court. They have to see a judge. Then they're back, unfortunately, a lot of times back into the traffickers' hands. This has an impact on our economy with crime.
The direct number of people involved is hard to gauge. But in the first quarter of this year, Florida Abolitionists worked on nearly 50 sex trafficking cases with the state attorney's office alone. For Lares, that's just the tip of the iceberg. With more and more people coming to Central Florida each month, he sees the need for investigators, victims advocates, translators, substance abuse services, and shelter.
If there is not advocacy in this true targeted funding to help these victims, then these traffickers and pimps are getting away, basically, in my opinion, with murder.
The Florida legislature saw a need last April when it gave the Orange and Osceola State Attorney's Office $1.4 million to target human trafficking and domestic violence. It was the only office in the state to get the extra money. Then State Attorney Jeff Ashton also held it as the largest amount the Ninth Circuit had ever received directly from the legislature.
You know, we were really excited that we were getting this extra money and we would be able to do this, you know, sort of extra work.
But just months into State Attorney Aramis Ayala's term, the legislature voted to cut $1.3 million, most of the specially appropriated funds. That came after she announced she would not pursue the death penalty. And after Governor Scott reassigned two dozen cases to another attorney, Representative Scott Plakin of Longwood was behind the cut.
She's refusing to do a significant part of her job. So if she's refuses to do that, someone else has to do it.
Under a provision, Ayala could request to get the money back if there's any left after the two dozen death penalty cases are prosecuted. Plakin argues Ayala can shuffle funds to address human trafficking and domestic violence.
They have the positions open. They have the funding open. They don't need the $1.3 million.
But for Ayala, tough cuts to staff and her base budget aren't a great starting point to penetrate human trafficking or domestic violence.
We see 60 million visitors every year come through Orlando. And because of that, it's the prime spot for human trafficking. So when we aren't properly equipped with it, the crime continues and continues and continues. It devastates and basically paralyzes all of those efforts.
And her political opponent, predecessor, and former boss, former state attorney Jeff Ashton, agrees.
My first feeling is, you know, that's 2 years of hard work squandered because, you know, it was a very, very concerted long-term effort to get that money. And so, you know, now presumably that's gone.
Victims advocates groups hope more money will come from the legislature to support their work. But in the meantime, the Florida Supreme Court's decision and the death penalty standoff will be the biggest indicator of whether the $1.3 million will be restored. I'm Renata Sago in Orlando.